3, 2, 1. It's AYS hour time. It's time. It's time. And I copied and pasted the theme so that I wouldn't have to type it out like I always do while I'm talking to y'all. Hi, everyone. Happy Wednesday, because we don't always know what day it is these days. I am very, 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 very excited for this AYS hour, because we are going to be talking to kindness.org. Jacqueline Lindsay, who is the CEO and co-founder of kindness.org, is going to be joining us today. And we are going to be talking about kindness in virtual spaces. So this conversation will have a focus on teachers, parents, and students, but it is overall using kindness to adjust to being in virtual spaces. So if you have any questions about this topic, make sure you submit them. This is our third episode of our Rethink Soft During COVID interview series. Next week will be the last interview for this series, or this part of the series, and it's going to be a really, 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 really good one. So make sure you tune in for that. I'm going to try to bring Jacqueline in so we can get this conversation started.
There should be like a dial tone when you bring someone on. Jacqueline!
Hi!
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm going to readjust now. When they split the screen, it's like, you got to maneuver a little bit. Okay, beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is a conversation that we've both been getting a lot of questions around kindness in classrooms, but also just this idea of adjusting to a virtual classroom. So parents, students, teachers especially have been having this conversation of what it's like to abruptly move something that is so personal to a virtual space. And I think kindness is a really incredible tool to use to make that adjustment easier for people. So I would love to hear about what you have been doing during this time, and a little bit about the softness curriculum that was just starting to be released before all this happened and now is kind of evolving.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me. I'm really thrilled to be able to talk about this today. You're right. I think anyone listening or watching can appreciate this is an incredibly unique time, no matter what situation or environment you're coming out of, but in particular for our teachers and our families that have been thrown into something that really has never had to happen before. So to back up, the curriculum itself that you mentioned came out of an incredible partnership that we've had with NVIDIA. And they approached us to say, we're really interested and passionate about the education space and thinking about how we cultivate soft skills in kids. What does that look like? So our team went away and really evaluated the landscape and tried to understand where could we have a meaningful contribution if we were going to develop a curriculum to really cultivate soft skills and to harness the power we believe they have. And that was a really exciting endeavor that took much of 2019. And we began the work to roll it out, what we developed. And I can unpack more of what the curriculum itself looked like. But we released it in February to 125 classrooms in 18 states. And just a few weeks later, all the schools that were participating in this curriculum pilot that we had launched had closed. So it's been an incredibly unique time for everyone. But for us, we didn't want to just say, well, our curriculum was designed for the classroom, so we're pausing until school resumes. On the contrary, we wanted to figure out how do we adapt to ensure that we're meeting the needs more than ever, because this time is so crucial for social emotional learning.
What are soft skills in reference to the curriculum?
great question. So when we think about soft skills, well, I'd be curious, when you think of a soft skill, what are some that come to mind for you?
Kindness, compassion, patience, empathy, understanding.
Amazing. And all of those are a core part of what is cultivated in this curriculum. So the curriculum itself was designed to try and meet the needs of how are we empowering the child to discover what this means for themselves. And the reason we landed there is because our organizational model is rooted very heavily in research. We always want to lead with data to inform what we're building when it comes to creating a kinder world. And so when we were exploring this with Nivea, what we proposed and what we recommended is, what if we make students student scientists? We're leveraging what's called an inquiry-based learning framework, and we've adapted it to really help put the child in the driver's seat of discovering, why are these skills important? So when we think about what we might tell a child, it might be something like, you should do this, you should be this, be kind, go do this thing. But we said, what if we tell them, this is what we know about why these things matter. This is what the science tells us. And now we're going to put you out in through this curriculum we developed. We're going to put you out into the classroom setting, into the home setting, into the community setting, to really understand for yourself, why does empathy matter? Where does compassion fit in? Where do I cultivate curiosity? How are those things translating to my own well-being and to the well-being of those around me? And that's what this curriculum was designed to do. And so the soft skills that are cultivated are all the ones that you mentioned, in addition to things like self-awareness, which is probably one of the most important, especially for a child. Really? How are they learning what it means to deal with their emotions or who they are? And all of that is what you go through this curriculum.
So something like self-awareness, going from being in the classroom to learning in your home environment, which, you know, kids are starting out with having this difference of knowing that this environment is for school and learning and this environment is for home and family. And there's a major adjustment. I mean, I see this with even my 9-year-old brother. So tell me about what you have seen in terms of self-awareness and what teachers have seen in terms of self-awareness from the classroom to classrooms and home.
Wow. That's an excellent question. We could arguably probably be here all day unpacking that because it's so robust. And I think that is so much of what people weren't prepared for, is how do you deal with this new range of emotions that are emerging from children as a result of being quarantined, as a result of losing the normalcy of their life, and then all of the added stresses that have come through this pandemic that is unique to each family, that is unique to each child, and what their own environment looks like. When we're thinking about the idea of self-awareness, I think one of the biggest things is we are wanting a child to be able to tap into what they're going through emotionally. And the more that they can pinpoint and identify, this is the feeling that I have, and then hopefully be equipped with tools to know what to do with those feelings, that was actually the exact intersection that we've tried to intervene and support our teachers, both the teachers in our cohort and then families anywhere in the world, quite honestly, by providing digital resources. And we did this through one example that we're really excited about called the How Am I Feeling Journal, where we gave a range of emotions. And the idea is the child's guided to think about, what is it that you're feeling? That's all the self-awareness, becoming aware of, I am feeling lonely, which is what 1 5-year-old little girl wrote in her journal. Her parents shared it with us. And she said, I'm feeling lonely. And then we provided ideas of, what do you do when you have that emotion or that feeling? And she said, I want to speak to a friend. So her mom was able to facilitate a Zoom with her other 5-year-old friend, Stacy. And what emerged is her saying, I don't feel lonely anymore now that I spoke to Stacy. And that's the idea, right? Is it's not only acknowledging what you're feeling, it's then knowing, do I have the tool? Do I have the language? Do I have the access to what I need to do something about that feeling?
So we're getting people asking, what is the age group for these resources and where can people find them? I know the How Am I Feeling journal is a really big one. So where can people find them and who is it targeted for?
Great question. So the curriculum itself and much of these resources are designed for kindergarten through eighth grade. Though we certainly have seen kids starting younger, you know your child and you know the needs. And I would also argue I did the How Am I Feeling journal as an adult. And it worked for me. So check out
it's
the
a check-in.
Resources. Yes. Yeah, it's a good check-in. And it's important that we're all doing that, I think, especially during this time because of how this is affecting our well-being. But if you go to kindness.org on our homepage, we have all the ways that we're supporting people with the Learn Kind resources specifically. They're right there on our homepage. We direct you to a landing page. We're refreshing it every other week, and we're adding bespoke activities weekly, so it'll stay constantly
Amazing.
Updated.
That's incredible. Tell me about what you're hearing from teachers and parents. What are their biggest struggles right now?
Okay, so I think with teachers, there's some of the obvious things thrown into a virtual setting where I didn't know how to use technology. not being prepared for being out of the classroom for, you know, this length of time. The two things that I think are really unique to talk about and really make sure we're unpacking and addressing is the uncertainty and equity. And so when it comes to uncertainty, I think the hardest thing right now for our educators is, when will this end? What does the new state of my classroom look like or my school look like? If we're assuming schools are closed through spring and then I'm coming back in the fall, how can I possibly be prepared to know how to meet the needs of my children after they've come out of a crisis? You know, the real implications long-term that this is going to have. I think that uncertainty is what everyone's grappling with, but I think in particular, the educators who are so close to their kids, who do this work day in and day out, tirelessly and sacrificially out of a passion for it. And now it's how do you prepare for the unknown and the uncertainty? And I think equity, you know, it's really important to me to highlight this and reinforce that the challenges around equity in education, they've always existed. This transition of learning in a virtual setting, it's really just forced us to realize we can't ignore it. It's basically put a neon light on a topic that we've often been able to brush under the carpet because we've had that physical setting to kind of make sure everything was equalized in the physical setting. But the virtual learning environment, we can't ignore it any longer. And so I think that is going to be something that teachers, administrators, leaders are going to have to reckon with and reconcile very quickly. And then on the parent side, you know, similarly, I'm a parent, though my child isn't in school quite yet, but in my own community, and then what we're hearing from all the parents in our kindness.org community, it's similarly, you're hearing a lot of the same things. Most everyone, I would argue, has been affected personally in some way, whether that was through job loss, salary changes, they're working from home now and virtual working while having their child climb into their lap, which happens to me frequently. I actually went somewhere else today to make sure that he's a little escape artist. He didn't come figure out a way to join us today, nor.
He's welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I figured he'd say that, but.
We would love it.
Yeah, I think all of those are the realities, right? So taking those and then acknowledging the deeper side, I think it's going back to what we said. Parents are experiencing a range of new emotions from their children that they've yet to probably see before. How do they handle their child saying things like, well, I am depressed, or I am feeling sad, or I am having these things that I've never really spoken about or examined before? And so how are parents responding
that's
to these
so
things?
Tough. Wow.
Yeah, that has probably been one of the things that's most emerged that we're hearing from our community right now.
One of the questions that one of our viewers just asked is, how are you potentially seeing students cope academically without the presence of a teacher?
Oh, Excellent question. And I don't think, unfortunately, it's a one size fits all kind of answer. And I think this is going back to the idea of equity. We've got some children who have no access to technology. They are struggling to even figure out how to continue learning during this time, let alone, of course, the normalcy that they're missing of their teacher Monday to Friday, their peers Monday to Friday. So I think everyone is grappling with this, and it's a landscape that's very different for everyone depending on the needs and environment of where you are. But I do want to encourage that by tapping into the available resources, you know, and certainly some of the activities that I know we're putting out in the feedback we're hearing, we're designing them in a way so they can be done by anyone, anywhere. And I think the hardest thing, and why I love this question, is the effect that this is having on the children themselves, the missing of the normalcy, the missing of activities, birthday parties. That is really where we don't have solutions in place for that.
Because
how do you prepare for a child going from the normal of the life that they had to literally not being able to leave their home? And that's where we're really investing into making sure that we're putting out tools and resources that can support kids with what they're going through.
So I love the fact that it's called soft skills curriculum, because it's a part, it's being put into the education that students are getting right now. Why is this curriculum specifically more important now than ever?
Oh, that's a great question too. So one of the things that I don't think anyone could argue with is we all could probably use more kindness. And it feels like even if there's a lot of good happening in the world, it's so often counteracted by the negative that we hear about and see about. When we first began, part of our research and focus was really looking at the effect of kindness and well-being. And this was many years ago, having no idea just how timely and prevalent that would be during a pandemic. What emerged from that research is a kind act has a significant effect on your own happiness and well-being. We've also discovered it is one of the most effective ways to influence the well-being of you and another human simultaneously. So when you think of the power of a kind act and really cultivating kindness as your norm, that is going to have a ripple effect out on well-being around everyone around you and your own self. And it's often free. So we're talking about a very powerful tool that can be harnessed in a very effective way. And I think when it comes to the broader idea of soft skills and social emotional learning, it's something that feeds into academic learning. So when you're able to be confident in who you are, to ask questions by leveraging that curiosity, to be empathetic towards a classmate who is going through a tough time, that will help create a groundswell of everyone thriving when it comes to the academic side of learning. And I don't think any of us would dispute that when we feel good and when we ourselves have strong well-being and are able to lead with kindness and compassion for others, it feels good. And it's going to have a positive effect on all parts of our day and our life.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that that is part of the healing that needs to happen right now and that we're all going through together, is putting aside differences and trying to, like, you know, quiet our insecurities and our judgment and realize everybody's going through the same thing on a level, but also they're experiencing it completely different. And the only way to be able to push through all of this is through softness and kindness and compassion in moments like this. It's so important. I'd like to ask you if you could give us a piece of advice for parents, a piece of advice for teachers, and a piece of advice for students and other people who are using virtual spaces right now.
Yes, definitely. So one advice for everyone is it's okay when you're not feeling okay, and giving yourself a little bit of that freedom and grace to remove those pressures that life needs to look a certain way right now. Mm-hmm. It's very much day by day. It's a time where we have to accept and be okay with the messiness and the chaos of what's happening. And as someone who tends to lean into the OCD side and more controlling side of my household, I've had to learn this myself of just being okay with the messiness of everything right now. So kindness to self would be how I would call that. And I think that can translate to whoever you are, wherever you are, as a teacher, student, or a parent.
Yeah.
You know, to teachers, I would really say we're here for you. And I don't say that lightly. We respond to every message. We exist to support educators through this work. We want to be a support to you in whatever way that looks like. So please message us, check us out. You know, if you want to learn more about what we're doing, we'd love to talk to you. When we put out our curriculum earlier this spring, we were doing it through a pilot, and that was for us to study the effectiveness and impact of what we had designed. We certainly didn't want to say, here's our curriculum, it's a silver bullet, and not having studied it. And so we had room to do that with our partnership, and we had amazing teachers around the country sign up. This is an exciting opportunity to really help shape what the future of SEL looks like and a soft skill curriculum can look like. And we want to be here to support that. We want to see more kindness in the classroom. So however we can do that for you teachers, we're here for you. And then I'll reinforce kindness to self. So take a bath, take a moment for yourself, whatever that
looks
like. Love
baths.
Yes, that's one of our top acts that we're recommending.
That's so funny. I've been taking multiple ones a day for my own peace of mind. It's so great.
You and me both. And then for students, you know, the advice would be being able to feel like you can be safe to talk about what you're going through and encouraging you in that. You know, kids are so, they're developing and they're so in tune with what's happening around them. So for us to try and pretend, yep, oh, they don't really understand a crisis, they don't really, it's doing a disservice and frankly, a little disrespectful to the child and what they're capable of understanding. And so I hope
they see it through a completely different lens too. Like I feel so passionately about what you just said, because I've learned that, like my youngest sibling is 9 years old, and I will just talk to him about the situation, what's going on and how he's feeling. And his insight is not just like almost a reflection of me realizing, oh, this is how I feel too. But it's like such a pure lens to look at the world from, because they're seeing it almost unfiltered, and they soak up so much more knowledge and information than we do, because we're so stuck in our heads that I almost feel like kids and students themselves are a resource of us being able to check in and be like, what's really happening?
Yes. And it's amazing that you hit on that, because just this week, our new activity was the Teach Somebody Challenge. And it was really telling the child, hey, you have a lot to offer the world. And so yes, we're encouraging you to go teach someone else. Teach your parent about your favorite recipe or about the science lesson.
Yes.
So I'm so on board with that. And it's very relevant to what the needs again are of what we're hearing. So I love that.
I love it. So you said teach your parents a recipe. My little brother teaches me recipes, and he's been teaching me about gardening. I'm like, I'll be like, how do you know all of this? And he's like, I research. And I'm like, thank you so much. Yes. So it's been amazing. Learn from our students, be kind to ourselves, and people can find all of the resources at kindness.org.
Yep. Right on our homepage.
Thank you. And thank you. And thank Nivea. I like, this is my IG live AYS hour, like ritual every single day, but thank you both so much for all of the tools and the resources. And I think this conversation is more relevant now than ever. And I really feel like this is how so many of us are going to be able to process things a little bit easier and a little more together. And I think that's really important.
I agree. And I have the same amount of gratitude to you for being willing to talk about this topic. And when we first met in February, I felt that intrinsic connection of just your real heart and commitment and passion for this.
Thank you. So
I thank you for that. And of course, Nivea, thank you. We just love working with you and are so grateful to have your support for this work. It's so needed. So I agree.
Thank you. Oh, so much love. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. I hope to talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, Noor.
Bye. Wow. Y'all, let me just tell you something. AYS hour is so healing for me. Like, being of service to you all through these conversations is so healing for me. And I want to say thank you so much to every single letter and message that we've been getting about doing these AYS, out doing these conversations. It truly is to be of service to you all and to offer you resources and conversations to let you all know that you are not alone and that there's so much to learn. And if there's something that I think it's important for me to learn, I know that it's important for you all to learn. And I'm so happy to share it with you all. I can't wait to upload this video so that you can all share it with your parents and your teachers and your students and your young ones. I always have like my younger brother watch all of these because I think it's so, and I think it, not only is it so important, but they learn and they realize so much more. So thank you all for tuning into these. Honestly, it means the absolute world. This has been one of the best experiences ever for me. And I hope that I get to continue to do that for you all. If you have any recommendations for conversations you want to see, you can always text me or message me or send me a note. I also want to let you know that our fourth episode for the Rethink Soft series is going to be on Wednesday, the upcoming Wednesday, and it's going to be a really, 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 really good one. They're all really good ones, but I'm excited for this one. I'm talking to someone who is an incredible art curator and a Whole Foods janitor. And we are talking about using softness during abrupt life changes and then changing your perspective and reframing your mind around these situations. I've learned so much from him already in the conversations that I've had. So I can't wait to share that conversation with you all. And again, I love you all. I appreciate you so, so, so deeply. Thank you for letting me be so open with you. Thank you for being so open and trusting of me. And stay soft, stay strong. Stay safe, and as always, at your service.